Welcome to The Prep Room, the official podcast of NBE Wizard. Focused, strategic, NBE ready. I'm Cody Walker, funeral director, embalmer, educator, and I'm here to help you cut through the noise and prepare to get NBE ready. Let's do it. Welcome to The Prep Room. Thank you for joining us for a brand new episode with a very special guest. As a matter of fact, I've been looking forward to this guest for quite some time. I know that y'all are going to get a lot out of this episode. Ever since I started working on this project and planning it, I've looked forward to having this episode with a fellow Texan, funeral director, embalmer, and so many more things, which we'll be getting into. Please help me welcome our guest, Ms. Jade Dacus.
Hi.
I said it wrong.
Dacus, now you got it right.
I still mispronounced it, but
it's okay.
Welcome, Jade.
It's about to be Mrs. Brown, so we're good. That's way
easier. I will be able to pronounce that.
It's way easier to pronounce.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Jade. I've been looking forward to this, and I know you've got so much to offer. So looking forward to it.
Thank you for having me.
Very much so.
I was very honored to be asked.
Well, I'm honored to have you on here. Thank you so much. Now, let's tell a little bit about who you are. Now, Jade, you graduated from Dallas as well, Dallas Institute.
I did.
When did you graduate?
2007. So about 500 years ago.
That's right. It was a long time ago, wasn't it? And it seems like a lot longer sometimes. Okay, what brought you to funeral service? What made you know this is what you were going to do?
So I started working in a funeral home when I was 16. I had my first daughter when I was 16, and I'm like, well, I have to go to work now. So somehow I just ended up at a funeral home. I was secretary, worked visitations, things like that. And then as soon as I turned 18, off to school, I went.
Off to school, yeah. You went. So you were 16, you had your first daughter,
yes,
which is a blessing, but it was hard, I'm sure.
It was a
but you were still able to go to school.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more in a little while. So how old were you when you actually started school? How long 18. After the 16?
I was 18. Yep.
Wow. That's incredible. And you finished school. What came next?
I finished school and I just kept working at Baumgartner Funeral Home in Fort Worth. I became licensed shortly after. I think when I was in school, we were right there on the tail end of when you could start your apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. It was either in school or right after. I think I was right there on the precipice of that. And then I became fully licensed early 2008.
Great. Yeah. And were you done with education at that point?
No.
No. Okay.
I kept going. I got a bachelor's in psychology, and then I went on and got my master's in clinical mental health counseling, and that's what I'm doing now.
Great. So you're still a funeral director and embalmer.
I am.
But you also are a practicing therapist, right?
I am. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I co-own a group practice here in Fort Worth, same time next week, counseling and consultation, and that's what I'm doing full time. So, but I've always wanted to give back to funeral service, and this is kind of how I found that balance.
So tell me about that balance.
Giving back. Well, I went back into, funeral service right before COVID hit. I was a trade embalmer during COVID. That was an adventure for sure. And then I was an adjunct instructor for a while. I taught grief counseling at Northeast Texas Community College. And now I present at TFDA. I've done that twice so far, presenting at Emerging Leaders this year. So that's how I'm giving back.
That's awesome. Now, do you think your experience in funeral service, how has that changed the way you practice in therapy?
Oh, it changes everything. Because yeah. To most people, I always go by real world consequences. I'm like, what is the real world consequence of this action or these thoughts? And in my mind, it's like, well, you're not dead. So, yeah.
That's for sure. One thing we definitely see in funeral service, we maybe think we're having a bad day, and we can always see someone that's having
a worse day. Right. Yeah.
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 For sure. So not only have you taken the national board exam, I'm sure you've taken a lot of other high stakes exams.
I have. I took the NCE, the National Counselor Exam. I took that in 2021. It was, it was stressful. Yes. Yeah.
And I too have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and then my master's is in education. But I think you'll agree with me that mortuary school and the national board exam is different. It is different than taking the national board exam. It's a very difficult test.
Correct.
It really is.
It is very difficult. It's very structured. It's very specific. Whereas like psychology and counseling, you can kind of generalize some of it. The national board exam is very specific to funeral service. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But it's definitely achievable.
Absolutely.
Absolutely achievable. So we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. But so you, when you took the national board exam, if you can remember back, did you take it all on the same day or on two different days?
I took it two different days, arts and then sciences, two different days. And that's back in the day where we had to go to a testing site and do it on site. Yeah.
Yeah. So from your therapy perspective, put your therapy hat on for a moment. Do you see that some people it's good to do it all in the same day, and for some people it'd be good to break it up?
Yes.
Right or wrong there.
Correct. Some people it is, let's start it, let's get it over with all on one day. And then if you break it up, some people that just what I would call prolongs the suffering in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In your MBE experience and in taking the MBE, did you have any aha moments like, you know, that really, that you can remember back to?
I'm a proponent of slow and steady wins the race. Consistency, study throughout the program, don't cram. That was my approach. Yeah.
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 And one thing that I always want to encourage students and test takers, especially for the MBE, and the numbers back this up, and I know you'll agree with me from your time teaching, the longer you wait after you finish school to take it, you can look at the numbers. Your chances of passing go down considerably.
Yes.
And what also happens if you wait a long, you know, an extended period of time, you're going to be more inclined to do the cramming, which it doesn't help you, right?
Correct.
I mean, it can help, but it can also hurt you. What comes along with cramming psychologically?
Cramming involves a lot of acute stress. So acute stress is meant to be temporary, but it's not good for converting things to long-term memory. It's not good for just physiologically maintaining like retention of information. Cramming is not the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you prepare? What did you do to prepare and study, if you can remember back?
I was slow and steady wins the race person. But I remember a lot of repetition, flashcards, and word association worked brilliantly for me. I'm an audiovisual learner, so the sounds of the words helped me compute it to memory.
Okay, so let's talk about that. You said you're an audiovisual learner.
Yes.
I'm very much an audible learner. I learn very well by hearing. But I do know what are the different learning types?
So there's people who can just read. And for people with dyslexia, ADHD, the letters on the page keep moving around and we can keep track of it, right? One of my professors in my master's program said to read the book while listening to it on an audible, and it helps compute it to memory even better. So there's visual, there's audiovisual, there's tactile. So like for embalmers, I know some embalmers that can embalm with their eyes closed. That would be an example of a tactile learner.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when you and I were in school back then, we had physical textbooks for the most part. And not in funeral service, it's a lot of the textbooks are still physical.
Good.
But there are apps where you can take pictures of pages and it'll read it out loud to you.
Really?
And
that's amazing.
Yeah, there's an app that I use that I've used for that, and I'll think of it in a moment. But you can take a picture of a page, and they even have where you can use a voice of Snoop Dogg to read it to you, or I think Martha Stewart's voice. But there's
soothing
ways. Yeah. Put you to sleep, maybe. But you've got to figure out what way is best for you, and that's what you have to do. Sure. Just because your friend or your classmate can read the book and remember everything doesn't mean that's the best way for you.
Correct.
I'm like that. I can't read the book and remember it, but I can talk about it or hear it and I'll remember it forever.
Yep. Audible is my best friend. If I'm trying to remember something, Audible. Yeah.
Yes. I'm with you there. I love audiobooks for sure. Very much so. So what you said, slow and steady wins a race. That was good. What other top tips would you have for test takers?
I would remind them. So with anxiety is more of a physiological response to stress, right? So I always tell clients, especially, that if you could think your way out of anxiety or a panic attack, we wouldn't have therapists, right? We wouldn't need medication. So that would be what they call the top down approach, is to think your way out of a panic attack. I always say go from the bottom up. So start in your body, right? So we're trying to calm the nerves that is causing the anxiety. So you can do progressive muscle relaxation where you tense certain areas of your body and then release. That kind of expresses all that adrenaline that you're going through. You can do the 3-3-3 rule, which is what are three things you can see, three things you can hear, and move three parts of your body. So we definitely need to move. And when you're taking a test, I understand that can be difficult. Yeah.
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 For sure. And test anxiety. Mm-hmm. We talked about this back during the summer. Both Jade and I were at TFDA, which is Texas Funeral Directors Association. We were at the convention and I was teaching a refresher course or a review course for the NBE. And Jade came in and gave some tips for test anxiety. And test anxiety, is test anxiety a real thing?
Yes. Yes.
It's what we
would call like situational anxiety. Yeah. It's not a generalized thing and it only pops up during test taking.
Yeah. So what? It can make it harder for someone to do well on a test. Oh,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It impairs cognitive functioning. If you're maybe having to give I know MBE is not verbal, but just for an example, you can start stuttering, things like that. Like it's very physically impactful. Anxiety is.
So it'd be kind of like stage fright, like for someone who has stage fright.
Yeah. Our bodies experience anxiety the same exact way, regardless of what triggers the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So does that mean that a person that maybe has severe test anxiety, does that mean they will never be successful at the MBE?
Oh, no. No, you just need to find ways to cope and overcome it. Yes, it might be a little bit more difficult, but you absolutely can do it. Yeah.
Some nerves, for regardless of test anxiety or not, we're going to have some nerves when we're taking a test like that, right?
Correct. It's what we call positive stress or just regular life anxiety. And then there's a tipping point where life anxiety becomes what we call neurotic anxiety, which that is when it starts to impede functioning. Yeah.
So what are some of the symptoms? Maybe. And some people taking the MBE, they may have never really experienced anxiety on this level because this is a major, major undertaking, right? No pun intended, for many people.
Right.
What are some of the symptoms they may experience in leading up to test day?
Brain fog, definitely. increased muscle tension. So if your shoulders and your neck are hurting, it's like, hey, I might be a little bit more stressed out. The day or morning of, stomach issues, headaches, sweaty palms, heavy breathing, increased heart rate, things like that. Those are physical. And then those can get you into mental, and then you start what we call the spiral, which we want to try to prevent the spiral. Yeah.
Are there things that candidates should do and prepare besides being prepared for the exam? Now, does it make it easier if someone, does it less anxiety if someone is completely prepared for the exam or if they feel prepared?
Correct. But for those who are, maybe have been out of school for a long time, or those who have taken the MBE several times, and maybe this is, you know, four or five, you know, that's more going to, we need to cope during the test instead of trying to prep before. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. What are some ways, say that morning, the morning of the test and then going into the test, what are some things that candidates can do?
I always say focus on your breathing. And I know that sounds very, very rudimentary, but breathing techniques, what we call box breathing, yoga breathing, meditative breathing, it physically stimulates our vagus nerve, and our vagus nerve controls our most of our autonomic nervous system. So it will tell your brain, hey, we're going to be okay. Hey, every time your diaphragm hits that nerve, it's reassuring you that the lion's not coming to eat you. You're not running for your life. It's going to be okay. Yeah. So I always say breathing.
Yeah. Running for your life. That's interesting. It's kind of like the fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That anxiety is telling us to run away from
what's
making us uncomfortable.
Correct. So, like I said, our bodies experience it the same exact way, regardless of the trigger. So the trigger could be a lion. It could be a test. Your body's still going to respond the same exact way. Yeah.
And what are some ways that breathing and those techniques, can those be used, you know, leading up to the day of the test to kind of prepare yourself for it?
Yes. It's what we call, we're toning the vagal nerve and we're trying to get it to regulate itself. But breathing every day, doing the yoga breathing every day, just helps lower the baseline anxiety. So your window of tolerance, what we call the window of tolerance, it allows for more things, more stress before you just reach your limit. Yeah. So, yeah.
The night before the exam.
Yes.
We talked about cramming a little bit.
Right.
Should we stay up all night cramming that night before reviewing?
No, we have to sleep, because when we sleep, that's when we compute a lot of things to long-term memory. So leading up to it, consistency. There's a difference between cramming and perusing the information, right? I think once you know that you're becoming anxious, once you experience those maybe physical symptoms, that's when you're like, okay, we need to close the book for now, right? And then pick it back up once those symptoms kind of abate.
Yeah.
But no staying up late. Make sure you're hydrated. And I know mortuary schools are telling students this, but I cannot stress enough how important it is. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And hydrated, does it matter what you drink?
Let's stay away from alcohol. Let's stay away from sodas and things like that. The morning of, please no energy drinks. Try to limit the coffee. Caffeine only makes the fight or flight response even more intense. Like, I know it gives energy. I know it can kind of get your brain functioning online a little bit faster, but there's a cutoff point between I'm optimally functioning and I'm going into a panic attack. Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned a while ago those that may be taken the exam for the fourth, fifth time. And there are people out there. I know people personally who have.
Yes.
I'm very fortunate that I passed it the first time. I like I said in the last episode, I think it was a computer glitch. I blame it on. But though I can understand the anxiety can be higher when you've taken it, you know, multiple times. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips or thoughts for those takers?
Positive self-talk. So I'm a millennial, and I know the generations before me, they somehow we got this message of if I bully myself into it, it's gonna come out with a great result. No. If you can imagine a time where maybe your parents or an authority figure spoke to you in not such a nice way, did that motivate you to go be your best? No. So positive self-talk. We need to reframe how we're talking to ourselves. Yeah. I always say, how would you talk to your best friend? Or how would you even talk to your own child? That's how we need to be speaking to ourselves and about ourselves. Yeah.
In severe cases, as we learn in funeral service, we have to know what our limitations are and when we need to refer a family to someone for such as yourself for more help. Can there be times when test takers, when anxiety is so bad that they do need to seek help?
Oh, yes.
Or assistance?
Usually, I always say our higher self kind of knows when that is of, hey, this is not quite right. I think if you've taken the exam maybe 4 or 5 times, maybe then seek professional help. Maybe you have an underlying undiagnosed learning disability. I wasn't diagnosed with dyslexia or ADD until I was 30 years old. It would have made my life so much easier if I would have gotten diagnosed in childhood. So, yes.
Exactly. I was diagnosed with ADD at 30 as well, the exact same age. And it would have definitely made mortuary school a lot easier for sure.
It absolutely would have. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and if you have a diagnosed condition like that, there are accommodations through universities, through the mortuary schools, and that those accommodations do apply to the test that we have to take, the MBE. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You just need a note from your physician or from your provider, and you can go through the International Conference's website, and there is a place to get that accommodation. So.
Correct.
And there's no shame in doing that if that's something you need.
No. Hey, if it makes it easier, if it makes it to where you only have to pay the test exam price maybe 2 times instead of 6, you're saving yourself some money and heartache. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm so outspoken about being dyslexic and ADD, because I think the more we talk about it, the more it decreases the stigma overall.
Yeah. And the stigma, especially like for us when we were young, it was a lot more stigmatized than it is now. Yeah. And it was only for, in my experience where I grew up, it was only for the quote bad kids.
Correct. You know, correct. There are no bad kids. There are just dysregulated children. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. But we can do those things to help. Now, for students that are still in school, that are still taking those capstone courses or still just taking, you know, those difficult RA courses or pathology courses, what about those lower stakes courses that, you know, we have to get through to get to the MBE? Can these things work for those as well?
Absolutely. It can apply to any of the courses, any of the subject matters, arts, sciences, it doesn't matter. It can apply to all. And I always say when you're taking those, you know, lower stakes classes or the ones that are not so difficult, maybe when you're in anatomy 1 instead of anatomy, are we in 3? Do we take 3 these days? You know what I mean.
It depends on the school, but
there
yes.
You go. Thank you. When the classes are not so stressful, start your studying then, you know, get a game plan then, get together with your cohort then. So your plan is less fear driven, anxiety driven. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And that brings up another good point. If you're, let's say there is anatomy 1, 2, and 3, you got to remember there's going to be things on exams from anatomy 1.
Correct.
That you're going to need to remember. So you've got to keep up with those things. And if you don't build that foundation, it just makes it that much harder.
Correct. The foundational classes are key to remembering everything. I agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there any particular topic or section or any particular area that you found especially challenging for yourself?
Yes, and this is going to be shocking. It's the arts. The arts were wild because science, there's one answer, right? I mean, E. coli, that's the answer to the question, right? Mm-hmm. In arts, things are a little bit more ambiguous. It depends on what perspective you're taking on the question, what mood you're in, even when you're looking at the question, could be how you answer it. Yeah.
And a big part of it is the way you read the question.
Correct.
Because sometimes we'll see those key words that will say, this is the right answer, but it may not be worded that way. You've got to take time to read it.
The wording.
Fully and completely.
Correct. And people, again, with dyslexia, they can skip over words when they're reading. And then that changes the question entirely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you've seen a question the same way, maybe multiple times throughout school, it's not going to be that same way on the MBE. Correct. So you've got to read it to understand it.
Correct.
And I'm not that surprised. I have a theory about that, about the arts being harder. I know I've seen many students that where they started out in school and they maybe found many of the arts classes challenging, and then they got to classes that I would think would be even more challenging for them, say RA or embalming or some of the sciences classes, and they breeze right through it. Right. And I think it's because this is my theory, it's mm-hmm. not proven, but those that are interested in embalming, they find those things more interesting.
Yes.
And so they learn it easier. Is there a connection to learning things easier that you're interested in?
Yes, absolutely. Because you're paying more attention to those. It's almost like you're on your edge of your seat waiting to see what the answer is and what your professor is saying. And yeah, your interest in a subject definitely changes how you remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so I'm going to deduct from that you were more interested in the embalming side than you were the funeral directing side.
Yes. Yes. I probably could not recall all the parts of a casket, but I can definitely get through the embalming, even though I took those classes almost 20 years ago. Yeah.
And talking about the parts of a casket, and there are a lot of parts of a casket that you will probably never tell a family that this is called this.
Correct.
And so, but we have to know those things for the test, right?
Right. Right.
And so you can't overlook those things
either. Yeah.
Any other thoughts or tips that you have for those who are preparing or still in school, or maybe those that are just starting school and thinking, I might as well quit now because I'll never be able to pass this test, when I finish.
I'd like for all of them to know that there are professionals in this industry that are working very hard, advocating to make change to the MBE, whether that be the state board exam, more transparency from the conference, whatever it is, we need more professionals in this industry. We believe in them and we're advocating for them wholeheartedly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what about having a support system? We've got the professional community and we're all here behind you. Okay. So if you're in school, if you're taking the test, though we may not know you personally, we're all rooting for you. And there is a lot of people.
Yes.
And if especially there's so many people that are going to school online now, you may not have that sense of community. Does that make it a little bit more difficult?
It does. It does. So I went to mortuary school in person. My bachelor's degree was online. My master's was in person. I definitely learned much more in person than I did online. So for students who are taking online classes, online programs, try to find people in the industry around your area. Try to see if there's anybody also taking those exam or those classes that is also in your area. Meet up. We need human interaction.
Yeah.
Human interaction, yes.
And we don't want to put anyone in a dangerous position
No,
either. So,
no.
be careful. But even interaction like you and I are talking on video right now,
Right.
does that help as well?
It does. It's still not the same as in person. So even when I am being a therapist, I always tell potential new clients, I'm like, I, as a therapist, prefer in person. So I think
Yeah.
the outcomes are a lot better in person. But like you said, some people are creepy. We don't want to put people in
Sure.
interesting situations. So, have precaution, but yes, you can do it via video chat, but I always prefer in person.
Yeah, just be smart about it.
Correct.
And if anybody ever wants to put anything on our MBE Wizard social media, like, looking for someone to study with, you're more than welcome to do that.
Right.
We'd be happy to make that connection. Maybe we can make some groups, something to think about
That's a
for
great
sure.
idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And also having support from those outside of funeral service. Now, you said you were 18 when you went to school,
Yes.
so your daughter was roughly two,
Yes.
and she knew mommy was going to school. She wasn't going to help you study though at that point.
Correct.
And but it's important to have those in our life that are our support system.
Right. And even if they can't help you study, they can help you in other ways by co-regulating or helping cook dinner or picking the kids up from school, like practical support instead of maybe just academic support. But support systems are necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, everyone going to school and taking this test, just like you had a daughter, I didn't yet have kids when I went to school, but I was working a lot. Just because we're going to school and we're getting ready to take the MBE doesn't mean our kids still require attention. We still have family issues that require attention. We still have to work. And that's understandable. I
Right.
know that adds more stress, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those responsibilities don't necessarily go away just because you've taken on, a mortuary degree program. So, yeah.
Does it help to have a structure in, how you prepare, when you prepare, things of that nature?
Some people need more structure than others. I'm a let's wing it person, we'll get it done, right? If you give me a checklist, I will probably spiral out of control because the
Yeah.
checklist is just another thing added to the checklist, right? So structure, yes. Other people wing it. Whatever feels best for you, whatever you know is best for you, embrace it, go with it. Yeah.
That's so true. Where I'm like you, I like to wing it. But my wife, she's got to have a checklist of every single thing
Yeah.
if we're going on a trip or whatever. And that's what makes her comfortable. I mean, that's what she likes to do. My two kids, one of my sons is more like me. He can wing it. The other one, he's got to know exactly what's going to happen and what he's doing.
Yeah, my fiance, he's a box checker for real, and we find a happy medium, but at times I'm like, why are we doing it this way? Yes.
I can totally see that. And I do know your fiance, Tim. I can totally see it. Talk about now, even though that you're out of school now, you're a therapist, you don't need a support system anymore. You know everything, right? About,
Absolutely not.
okay,
No.
talk about that.
No. Everybody needs a support system at every stage in their life. believe it or not, therapists don't have all the answers. We are people just like everybody else. Though we've read some books and maybe have taken a few extra exams, I am a normal person. I have my good days, bad days, my spiral days, my I don't want to get out of bed days, my days where I'm just conquering it all. And my support system, Tim, my girls, they're here with me every step of the way. And I can't do it without them. So
they're your cheerleaders.
Okay. Yeah.
Are cheerleaders important?
Absolutely.
To have those?
Absolutely. Yeah. On the days where you don't think you can do it, they know that you can. They remind you that you can.
Yeah. And Tim is a funeral director also.
He is.
Very accomplished.
Yeah, very accomplished. I used to tell people he was my apprentice. And
yes.
People who know him think that is just hilarious. Yes.
Yeah. And how many girls do you have?
We have two. Yeah.
Two girls. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think all of this is incredible. I know it's very helpful for all of our listeners. And just knowing that there is hope out there and that we are all behind you and you can do this. It takes preparation. It takes hard work, but it is completely possible.
Absolutely.
Before we wrap up here, I want to cover a key concept of the day or key concept of the week. Now, I have to admit, I did pick this one especially for you because Jade made a comment back during the convention that she didn't like the sales and the business part of funeral directing.
Correct.
So I picked this specific one for you, and it's understanding equals sales success.
Okay.
Let me tell you why I picked it. Because even though this part of funeral directing and sales was not your favorite thing, right, did you still have to learn it? And was it still important?
I did still have to learn it. I did have to, every time I met with a family, I did sell them something, whether it be an urn, a casket, a service, you know. So I did have to learn it, even though it felt icky to me.
Yeah, it can. But does it feel different when you're given options and different solutions and what can be done? It doesn't have to be cheap sales tactics either,
correct,
does it?
It's not a product, right? And I read the little blurb that you sent of the sales success. And at the very end, I really liked that. We're selling a solution. We're not selling a product or a service. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. And just by asking open-ended questions and providing those options, we can give a family options of caskets from 20 gauge up to, bronze or solid mahogany. That doesn't mean that one's better than the other, but giving them those options.
Correct.
And listening to what they say.
Yeah. And just listening to them, you could maybe identify something that would meet their needs better or would be more appropriate for them that maybe they didn't even know was an option, right? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And take maybe some of the emotion out of it. There's some times that we have to take some of the emotion out of it.
Correct.
But as it says in the key concept of the day, when families feel heard, they feel served.
Yes.
And that's exactly right. And I'm going to assume that's the same with your clients. They need to feel heard, or your patients. They need to feel heard.
Yes. That is the number one. When they sit on my couch, I need to know that they feel heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask a couple more questions. Moving past the NBE, are there times as a funeral service professional that you're going to have that anxiety, that you need someone to talk to potentially? Is there any harm in doing that? Is it okay to admit to yourself that you need somebody to talk to?
I think it's more harmful to not admit that you need somebody to talk to. That mentality of I got it all, I can do it all, I'm not struggling, I can't let anybody see my vulnerabilities, that is more toxic than seeking help or seeking just help from a friend or just reaching out. Yeah, it's the ones who don't reach out. Those are the ones I worry about the most.
Yeah, And it is a hard industry. It's a hard profession. It really is.
Yes, the vicarious trauma that we go through, the just the emotional labor, the emotional energy that we absorb when people express grief, particularly, it's a lot to carry. So if you reach out and you create that web of support, that structure, it makes it less heavy.
Yeah, it does, for sure.
Yeah.
And Jade, if someone is looking for more information on you and your therapy practice, how can they find you?
So you can go to my website, www.sametimenextweektherapy.com. We're a group practice, so we have, I think we're at 7 therapists now. We treat a wide range of presenting issues. Some of us work with grief, and reach out. We can see how we can help.
That's awesome. And I'll put the website in the show notes for anyone that's looking for it. Jade, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for all the tips that you have. Anything else that you want to mention or bring up, or anything that comes to mind for you?
Not that I can think of. I'll see you at Leadership.
Looking forward to it. Okay. For sure. Well, Jade, thank you so much for joining us. And everyone, just remember, this is something that you can do, that we're here for you. If you have anything that you would like us to cover on future episodes, please feel free to reach out. Please do. And also, if you have anyone that you think would be an awesome guest, like Jade, not as good, I'm sure, but like Jade, please pass along their information to me or have them get in touch with me. So, everyone, I hope you all have a wonderful day, and thanks for joining. Hi. Thanks, Jade.
Bye.
Thanks for stopping by the Prep Room. Be sure to subscribe, rate the show, and share with your colleagues in funeral service. The views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of MBE Wizard, the Prep Room, show host, or producers. The content of this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, medical, or exam-specific advice. MBE Wizard and the Prep Room are not affiliated with or endorsed by the International Conference of Funeral Service Examining Boards, the National Board Exam, or the American Board of Funeral Service Education. We do not share, solicit, or discuss actual exam content. All strategies and insights are designed to support ethical, independent preparation. For official guidance, always consult your academic program and or state licensing board. Special thanks to Valenti for all the music used in this episode and every episode. Thanks, brother. If you're a funeral service professional, educator, or student with a story, insight, or strategy to share, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us at info@mbewizard.com. For more tips, tools, and test prep, follow MBE Wizard on social and visit mbewizard.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, stay focused, stay strategic, stay MBE ready.
Stuff your face and feed your purse. Your children just keep getting worse. Why aren't you learning? Oh my Lord, 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 Lord. 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 If you think that you'll endure the flame, do nothing else, just stay the same. Feeling like a healing, tired of being lame. Hear what I'm saying. Give thanks for every single day you wake. Know that you're living this side of the grave. Try to make a friend, try to smile and wave. And when you got the blues, just say, yeah.
Thank you.